Scripture for a meditation this evening is recorded for us in Paul's first letter to the congregation in Corinth, chapter 11, beginning with the 23rd verse. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." This is the word of the Lord. Dear friends of Christ, when you're not going to see someone for a long period of time, or perhaps maybe never again, you might give them a gift, a special gift. You might say, "Something to remember me by." Now, before many people die, they put certain things in their wills that they're going to give certain things to special people in their lives, knowing that they might treasure and love that gift and appreciate that gift more than any other person would. Perhaps a grandmother might give a tea set, her tea set, to her granddaughters because they liked having tea together. Or maybe a father might give his son a 65 Corvette because they spent countless hours in the garage working on it together. You want those gifts to be special. You want them to mean something to the one to whom you gave it. Perhaps they would consider it a small piece of you, something that to love, to cherish, and to use. This is what Jesus did almost 2,000 years ago on the night we call Maundy Thursday. Now, in a matter of hours, Jesus would be betrayed and arrested. By 9 a.m., he would be nailed to a cross, and 6 hours later, he would die. Jesus knew that in a matter of moments, in just a short time, he would be taken away from his disciples. So he gave him a special gift. That night, as they were eating the Passover meal, Jesus took some of the unleavened bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body." Then after supper, he took a cup holding some grape wine and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my blood." That's the gift the Lord decided to give his disciples and us, the whole church, before he died. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion. A gift for us to eat and to drink, to love and to cherish. But Jesus didn't just give us some bread and some wine. That wouldn't be that special of a gift at all. No, Jesus makes it abundantly clear what he's really giving us in the sacrament. "This is my body," he said. "This is my blood." In the Lord's Supper, Christ's true body and true blood are really present in, with, and under the bread and the wine. So whenever we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are partaking not just of wine and bread, but of Christ's true body and blood. Can we taste it? Can we see it? Can we somehow otherwise perceive it? Well, no. But it's truly there because Christ says it is. We don't have to understand it. We don't have to perceive it in some way for it to be true. God says it in his word, and that's good enough for us. Paul talks about the relationship between the elements of the Lord's Supper and what we truly and what we receive in the Lord's Supper, and just in the chapter before ours. He says, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ?" The bread and the body participate together. The blood and the wine, the cup, participate together. In order to both participate, that means they both have to be present. And the Greek really uses the term communion. Aren't they a communion together, a common union? There is a common union between Christ's blood and the cup, between Christ's body and the bread. All four are truly present in the Lord's Supper. So then the very thing, his body and blood, that Christ gave up on the cross to forgive our sins is the very thing we partake of every time we receive the Lord's Supper. That's why we can say that we receive the forgiveness of sins. Matthew mentioned that in his account. He says when Jesus gave the cup to his disciples, he said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." For the forgiveness of sins. That's the purpose for the sacrament. That's the reason of the sacrament. That's why Jesus gave the sacrament to us. He gave us his true body and blood so that we can receive forgiveness. So we can have a tangible, so we can taste and see this gracious gift of forgiveness. Paul, in our text for today, doesn't use that term forgiveness. Instead, Paul simply says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." We're going to read Jeremiah's prophecy about this new covenant in just a bit. But for now, suffice it to say that a covenant is an agreement between two people. The old covenant was given to the Israelites through Moses on Mount Sinai. It was a two-sided covenant. The agreement was this: if you obey my teachings, I will bless you and save you. If you do not obey my teachings, you will be condemned. And as you know, there's no way that we can hold up our end of that agreement. And therefore, we deserve condemnation. But the new covenant is ushered in by Christ, and it is a one-sided agreement. The new covenant is simply this: that you have been forgiven, saved by Christ, who shed his blood on the cross. In the Lord's Supper, we receive the new covenant. In other words, we receive the forgiveness of sins. That's the gift the Lord gave us to remember him by. Whenever you give that gift to someone, especially if you're going to die or not see them for a while, you want that someone to use it, to love it, to cherish it. You don't want them to throw it in a box. You don't want them to put it in storage and to only use it on occasion, if at all. You want them to use it, to love it, to cherish it, so that they can think of you every single time they do use it. That's what we do in the Lord's Supper. "Do this in remembrance of me," Jesus said. We remember his great love for us. Paul continues to say in verse 26, "Whenever you eat this bread or drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We remember all the great things Christ has done for us to save us, from his giving up the life in heaven, the glories and riches of heaven, to be born as a human, to take on human flesh, to live in a perfect life that we could not live, to give up that life on the cross as he took our sins upon himself, to giving us his perfect life, and then rising from the dead. We proclaim his death to everyone present, to everyone here. We are proclaiming that by his death, all our sins have been washed away. That we receive forgiveness. The same forgiveness in the sacrament that he won for us on the cross. So in the Lord's Supper then, we remember the Lord and all the great things he has done for us. But the sad and ironic thing is that many Christians claim that that's all there is in the Lord's Supper. That it's simply a memorial meal. It's simply a way to remember Christ and no more. Nothing else. Well, they'll readily say that in the Lord's Supper, we remember all the great things Christ has done for us. But in their minds, the Lord's Supper is not something Christ has done for us. Well, they turn the Lord's Supper into something we do for Christ. Something that we do to show our faith in Christ. Something we do to remember Christ. Not something that Christ does to give us forgiveness. They deny what the sacrament is actually for. And you can go online. And you can look at many different websites of different churches and church bodies and see what they say about the Lord's Supper. Here's one such quote, which is pretty common among many. The Lord's Supper is a reminder of what Jesus did in the past, a symbol of our present relationship with Him, and a promise of what He will do in the future. Notice that there's no mention of Christ's true body and blood in that definition. There's not even a hint of receiving forgiveness of sins in this sacrament. Sadly to them, the Lord's Supper is not a means of grace, but a means by which we show our faith in Christ. And thus then, by overemphasizing the remembrance part of the Lord's Supper, they deny the essence of what the Lord's Supper truly is, a sacrament by which God gives us His grace. And the two false teachings go hand in hand. If someone denies that Christ's true body and blood are really present in the Lord's Supper, then they also deny that we receive the forgiveness of sins in the Lord's Supper. And what does Paul say about such people? They are partaking of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner if they fail to recognize Christ's body and blood as being present. They are sinning against Christ's body and blood by doing so, and thus they are eating and drinking judgment on themselves. Now, of course, when we talk about worthy and unworthy recipients of the Lord's Supper, we realize that none of us are worthy. We're not any better than anyone even if they do partake of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. We're all sinners who deserve God's wrath. So then, what constitutes as a worthy partaker of the Lord's Supper? What does it mean to then be properly prepared? Well, it's one who has examined himself. And what does an examination for the Lord's Supper include? Well, it really boils down to three basic questions. Do you know that you're a sinner? Do you believe that Jesus Christ shed His blood on the cross and won for you forgiveness? And thirdly, do you believe that His true body and blood are in with and under the bread and the wine in this sacrament and that they gave you the same forgiveness of sins? Recognizing this fact, recognizing that Christ's true body and blood are in this sacrament, the same body and blood that Christ shed on the cross for our forgiveness is given to us for the forgiveness of sins. That's what it means to be properly prepared. As Luther famously says in his small catechism, he is properly prepared who believes these words, given and poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Because the words for you require nothing but hearts that believe. This is a gift given for you. A special gift by which we remember Jesus. A gift of His true body and blood. Gift of the forgiveness of sins. Now, He didn't give you this gift so that you can keep it locked up, so that you can pull it out every once in a while on a rare occasion. He gave you this gift to use. With all the blessings that Christ gives us through this sacrament, then why wouldn't we want to use it often? So love this gift. Cherish this gift. And make use of this gift on a regular basis because it is a free gift given for you. his true body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Please stand.